awesome privilege of worshiping you and knowing you. Father, prepare us so we can receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Before I start, just a couple of things that I want to kind of go over right quick. Y'all know we've been doing some work to the church, and we're still doing a few other things we're trying to get done. But you notice now that we got the children's room all set downstairs and ready for the kids, and women's bathroom is coming along pretty good. Women, yes? Okay, all right, praise God. I'm excited about that. That'll be finished up probably pretty soon. But it is pretty now, and it is operable, and you know, so a lot of cool things are happening. We're going to start adding the worship sound, and soon with a screen and music downstairs, projected downstairs soon. So I'm going to start that this coming week, so those folks that can't make it up the stairs can still come to Broad Street and participate in the service. My point I'm making is everybody tells me that we kind of have one of the best kept secrets in the community. So now I'm trying to say it's time to let the secret out. So it's time to let folks know who we are, what we have, and what we're doing. So the challenge is for all of us to find somebody that we know that needs Christ in their lives, that needs to be ministered to, that needs to be loved on, and bring them here. We're now ready to the point where we can open up our doors and bust it out to everybody. So the challenge to us that I'm making to you, including myself and Cindy as well, we're going to try to find somebody that we can reach out to and bring them here and let them feel God's love. Everybody that walks in this place says, when you walk in that church, something happens to me. That's got nothing to do with none of us. We know it's the spirits in this place. It's the saints in this place. It's God's presence in this place. It's what we have here that we're offering. This, as my wife said, the walls are saturated with those who've become before us. This place is a blessing to the community, and we need to let them know that we're here. You know, and it doesn't matter where they are, where they're from, or which neighborhood they come from, or which community they come from, we can open it up. We also want to put out an invitation to recruit musicians and singers, folks that want to sing and do music and do stuff. Cindy's looking to talk to y'all and try to increase that as well. So if that is a desire on your heart, it's time to move in that direction as well. So today, we'll tell you a little story. We're going to talk us finishing up our message on servanthood, and we're going to be talking about our spiritual growth. You know that God can use you any place, anytime, anywhere, in any situation, when you least expect it. God can use the saved and the unsaved. Doesn't matter to him who he uses for his purpose to do his will and what he's got going on. Sometimes we're not even privy to what he's got going on. Once when I was a young boy, I was a Boy Scout. And we were at summer camp, which is what Boy Scouts do. They go to camp and they learn how to do stuff so they can become men and do things that boys do. And there was a young boy, never will forget it. He was a Hispanic boy. His name was Alfredo. I'll never forget him. I don't remember his last name, just remember his first name because I thought it was kind of a cool name. His name was Alfredo. And Alfredo, we were out at the pool. I must have been maybe somewhere between, probably about 12 years old. And there was this pier in the middle of this water thing that people would go out there and swim to. And we were all playing, and I was on the side of the water, and he was out in the water and started drowning. And nobody saw it but me. And he was trying to call for help, and nobody was paying attention. Now, how many of us have been in a situation where at that moment, you know if you don't react to something, something's going to happen, something bad could happen if you didn't react? So here's the thing. Without even thinking, I go in, jump in the water, and start getting out there to him, and I grab him, and then, you know, when people are panicking, what they do is they grab on people, especially when they're drowning, and try to climb up on top of you. But here's the thing, y'all. I get out there. As I get there to him, the lifeguard then of the place we're at then saw what was taking place. He then jumps in the water. He's an avid swimmer, a great swimmer, and goes out there, and he catches him, gets him up, and brings him with one of those swimmer carries that they do, however they do it, I don't even remember, and he brings him to the shore. Well, at that point, I'm so relieved. I'm thinking, ooh, he's going to live, and this is great. But you know what dawned on me as I was out there being plummeled under and out there trying to save this young man? I was realizing that I don't know how to swim. And that's not the time to remember. And, you know, God will bring stuff back to you quick like that, too, because I was at the moment, I was just diving in, and then I was, like, relieved, and I was thinking, ooh, I got to get back to the shore. I'm thinking, how did I get out here? And so then, what's funny is the lifeguard then had to dive back in and help me get back up to the front. So, you know, but when you're just reacting to a situation, sometimes you don't think about it. The Lord just puts you in a place that you just jump in and react to without thinking. It's just a quick obedience. He can use you and you don't even know how he's going to use you. Anybody heard of a woman by the name of Miss Antoinette Tough? Antoinette Tough. Well, Antoinette Tough this last weekend was a very famous woman who was in the news recently. She's a woman from Decatur, Georgia. She is an office accountant at a public school in Decatur, Georgia. What happened was, is while she was there, a young man comes into the school and he has a weapon. And he starts pop, pop, shooting the weapon off. He didn't shoot anyone, but he started shooting the weapon off. Pop, 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 pop. Miss Tough, Miss Antoinette, started praying over this young man. She started praying and witnessing to this young man. She reached out to him and gave him love. He walked in and he said, "No, you don't understand." She said, "Baby's going to be all right." He said, "No, you don't understand. No one loves me. No one cares about me." And she said, "No, you didn't even hurt anybody. If you just put the gun down and you just let me be with you, I'll talk to you. If they come and get you, I'll go with you wherever you need to go because I want to be here for you." She broke all the rules. She prayed with this young man. She prayed out loud in the school. She talked to him about Christ and his love. And here's the thing. At the time, her own life was painful. She was going through something herself. Here's the thing. After 33 years, her husband decided he wanted to go. She was filled with tragedy. Who knows if it was that day or that time, but whatever it was, she was going through something in her own life. He had just walked out after 33 years. But yet, even though she was going through her own situation, her own stuff, God used her at that moment, at that time, at that place, in that situation, and she answered the call and saved the lives of all those kids. And she probably will lose her job if the unions have their way because she prayed and preached and witnessed and then went on national TV telling everybody that's what she did. So, you know, I'm praying for this lady because no matter what she was going through, that was a great example of stepping up and stepping in, no matter what trials we have, answer that call, because you don't know how God's going to use you or when. Right. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, now you have known anything of Christ's encouragement and of his reassuring love, if you have known something of the fellowship of his spirit and of compassion and deep sympathy, do make my joy complete. Live together in harmony. Live together in love, as though you had only one mind and spirit between you. Never act from motives of rivalry, of personal vanity, but humility. But in humility, think more of each other than you do of yourselves. None of you should think of only of his own affairs, but consider other people's interests also. So no matter what you're going through, what we got going, we should be thinking of others and putting them first. In Matthew 25, 14 to 3 says, though our sins have been forgiven, we will still face consequences for the choices that we make. And this is what she was trying to reach out to this young man and let him know that even though you may not have shot anyone, there are consequences, but I'm going to still be with you and be by your side while they're here and you're going through your consequences. That's love. Now, I don't know how God's going to use all of you and what circumstances he's going to use you in, but all of you have gifts and talents in ways that you're going to be placed in circumstances where you can use those gifts and talents to serve God. The Lord gives us gifts, skills, resources, and talents, and we are responsible to use them to honor him. Use them to give him glory. Use them to give him the praise. See, if we fail to do so, then we may forfeit our reward. I don't know about you. I like getting stuff. I like getting God's stuff. I don't want to forfeit my rewards. We must regularly face the truth about our attitudes and our actions. And we must examine whether we are staying at the very center and the very core of what God's will is. That's hard to do. 1 Peter 2, 16 says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. We don't know anybody that fits in that description. Why is being a servant so important to our lives? What is the reason why we need to be a servant? We've been talking about it all month. You know, serving God, serving each other, serving our community, serving the family. But here's the thing. Being a servant is important to our lives because knowing that someone will ask for us to help them motivates us to do our best and encourages us to be a good steward of our time, talents, and resources. See, being responsible to the Lord and others challenges us to maintain a high standard, godly convictions, a transparent heart, and a trustworthy character. See, the enemy is trying to get us to do just the opposite of all that stuff. He's trying to have you not be responsible to the Lord. He wants you to be responsible to him. He wants you not to have any godly convictions. He doesn't want you to have a transparent heart or to be a person of trustworthy character. He wants you to live in that freedom to cover up stuff. And we don't want to cover up nothing. That's not what God's saying we should be. If we look at, I don't know if this is in your notes, but Romans 6:20, I have it here and I can just read it. When you were slaves to sin, you felt no obligation to righteousness. And what did you get from this? nothing but experiences that now make you ashamed, since that sort of behavior ends in death. Now, however, you have been set free from sin and you have been made slaves of God, and that you get a reward leading to your sanctification ending in eternal life. See, when I read this, I looked at this and went, you know what? How true is that? We were all slaves to sin. Sins in our lives. And the verse that stood out, the part of that stood out to me was, you felt no obligations of righteousness. What did this get from you? In other words, how did that work out for you, being a slave to sin? Did it work out for you? Did you end up with the life you thought you was going to have? Do you have the stuff you thought you was going to have? Are you getting what you thought you was going to get? Did this turn out exactly the way you wanted when you was in control of it?
Right.
Yeah, how did that work out from this? And what did you get from this? And then it answers you, nothing but experiences that now make you ashamed.
Yeah.
Is that, that's so much truth there. There's so much truth there. So what happens then is that the enemy's trying to lie to us.
Yeah.
He don't want us to understand this stuff about us. He's trying to keep us in that place. And one of the things that I've been dealing with all week is I've been noticing that the enemy loves to attack the head. Goes right for it. And if he can smack the head, especially the head of the house, especially the men, if he can take down the men, he can take down and destroy the rest of the family. And he comes in just crafty, and he uses all the stuff that men get twisted by. He knows exactly what to use, not just the generational curses that he knows all about. He uses everything at his disposal. He'll take the generational curses and use the wine, women, and song, and come after the men and take them down and just look and see what happens. Whew. Whew. So what happens when the enemy attacks the head? In addition to destroy the entire family, in some cases, it can destroy an extended family. When I counsel men, I talk to them and I tell them that however the man goes, this is the man and this is his family. If he's moving in an upward position, having his sights pointed towards God, living in a godly way and living in a moral way and not getting tricked and twisted by the world, so goes his family right with him. But the minute he turns and goes this direction and starts going in another way and starts living in an immoral way and getting tricked by the wine, the women, the song, the stuff, the drugs, the stuff that's out there in the world, the things he gets twisted by, so goes his family right with him. And here's the thing. When he hits that bottom place, it ain't over. Then it now affects the extended family. Wow. See, when he attacks us men who are supposed to be servants of God and setting the example of being a servant leader, we can't do our best. Sometimes our resources get wasted. When he attacks us, our spiritual growth gets hampered. It's not what God intended. See, he knows that when he attacks us, that there will be division in our most important relationships. He also knows that if he attacks us, that we will miss opportunities, privileges, promotions, rewards, bringing us down. Anybody hear me? See, and then when we're in this place, especially when we then are not paying attention to what's going on, we then look at us in control and don't put Christ in control. And an enemy is just waiting for an opportunity to sneak in there. And then we start blaming other things and other people, looking for excuses. And then we start worrying about things that we don't even need to be worried about, like oh, if, who's going to take advantage of me in this situation? Who's going to take advantage of that in that situation? And if I do this, then somebody's going to say this about me, and I'm not going to do that. And we start having all this fear, anxiety, and all this other stuff. And the enemy just sitting there going, gotcha. Gotcha. See, Romans 6:23 says, sin pays its servants. Sin pays its servants. The wage is death. But here's the thing. God gives to those who serve him, his free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we get paid too for serving God. And we get something more valuable than anything else that's out there. Which is why today is your best day to serve him. There is no better day than today to serve him. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards each other, never thinking you are better than others, and look out for each other's interests, not just for your own. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever, as it says in Psalms 44:8. See, we don't need to boast about nothing but him. If you want to boast, that's what you boast about. Tell somebody what God's doing for you in your life. Tell somebody how you've been delivered from depression and anxiety, from cigarettes, from drugs, from alcohol, from lust, from immorality, how he brought your family back together, how he did this. Tell somebody what he did for you. If you want to boast, boast about that. That's powerful boasting and something that no one can take away and deny. That's truth. That's real. And it's real to you. That's what's going to help somebody else. See, if you are in Jesus Christ and your heart is committed to God's plan for your life, it means that today is your best day to serve him. Now, understand, it's not your best day because you feel like it is or because you pretend that it is. It's not your best day because everything is going perfectly or because you're living in an ideal circumstance. It's not your best day because you are in optimal health or because everything is going your way. It's your best day because you know him, you love him, he loves you, and because of all that, you get to serve him. Matthew 20:27-28 says, whoever wants to be great must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the willing slave of all, like the Son of Man. He did not come to be served, but to serve and give up his life as a ransom for many. John 12:25-26 says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will be. That's the power. Wherever I am, my servant will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. You want honor? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. There's great honor in serving the Lord, not serving ourselves. Not looking out for me, looking out for someone else. Putting someone else above yourself. Isn't that what Jesus did all the time? Everywhere he went. So I'm going to give you four reasons why today is your best day to serve him. Number one, today is your best day to serve because you are here. God has placed you in this moment of time for a purpose, and the things that happen to you today will be unfolding that purpose. Today is your best day to serve. It's because what happened to you yesterday, however easy or difficult, was used by God to help you prepare you for what He has for you today. Number three, God will use what happens today to prepare you for what He has in plan for you tomorrow. If we're paying attention. And number four, God has used your past and has worked it all together for good. And He will use this day and add to it the good that He has already worked out in your behalf. Powerful. But you say, Pastor Byron, I don't know if I'm ready to serve. I don't know if I'm ready. My life is a mess. My situation is a mess. You don't know what I've been through, what I'm going through, where I'm coming from, what I've done. See, I get that. It's a natural hesitancy that comes from serious acts of service. But we still got to answer the call. See, I do get that it is wise for us to plan out the cost of things before we plunge into something without understanding, first of all, even if it's God's will. But many of us might experience things of fear, being taken advantage of, looking or sounding stupid, we don't want to take any safety risks. But here's the thing. Miss Antoinette, when she stepped into her moment at her time at that place, she wasn't thinking about sounding stupid, looking stupid, losing her job, proclaiming Christ, praying for this child, reaching out, speaking over him, praying out loud in the school. She wouldn't worry about none of that. Neither should we. And you know what? Most of us aren't in too many safety risks. So we get to do it and do it freely with His covering. We're protected. The key is, in all of this, who is in control? Or better yet, who are you giving your control to? So let's talk about that. Who are we giving our control to, or who's in control? See, we have a choice. We either serve or choose to be a servant. See, the difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. See, when we choose to serve, we are still in charge. We like order. We like things. It's our way. We're still doing things. And not that those things are always wrong, but it's just us that's doing stuff. It's us manipulating things. See, when we decide whom we will serve and when we will serve, and if we are in charge, we worry about stupid stuff. You know, we worry about, is this going to work out well? Is this not going to work out well? Is somebody going to try to take my job, take my situation, take my thing, be in charge? I'm in charge. They're going to try to take it over for me. And we worry about stuff that we don't even need to worry about. See, but when we choose to be a servant, then we give up the right to be in charge. That's powerful. When you choose to be a servant, you give up the right to be worrying about all that other stuff. You just let it go. See, there's freedom in that. See, when we're here voluntarily, we choose to be taken advantage of when we choose to be a servant. We know we're going to be taken advantage of. We know these things are going to happen to us. And we're okay with it because we expect it. It's supposed to happen. So we shouldn't be worried about anything. See, when we choose to be a servant, we surrender the right to decide when we will serve. We just become available and vulnerable. Wow. We just get to become available and vulnerable. And we're okay with that. See, but remember, when we do things our way, you know, when we want to be in control, when we want to choose stuff, when we do things using our own self-will, when I'm quite sure when we do those things, we're hurting Jesus. He didn't want us to do things our way. He wants us to do things His way. He wants us to seek His will. Sometimes He's just standing there. I can see Him going, I'm just waiting for you. I'm here. I'm waiting on you. When you get out of the way of yourself and let me step in and take over, I got this and you're going to be okay. But I'm waiting on you to get out of the way of yourself. See, when we do those things and we hurt Him, it may not hurt anyone else, but shouldn't we be concerned about what hurts Him? I mean, I know it wounds His spirit. See, every time we stand on and insist that we are right or proclaim that this is what I intend to do, it grieves His heart. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wholly sacrificing to God. See, today is your best day to serve because you can grow a little. You can grow a little more. You can grow a little bit more in your faith. You can grow a little bit more in your maturity, your spiritual maturity, and a little more in your intimacy with Jesus. Today, you can take another step higher as He takes you from glory to glory. Philippians 2:17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and serving coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So take another step higher. We can take another step deeper as we grow in His love. Acts 20:24. I consider my life worth nothing to me. Can you do that? Can you consider your life worth nothing? Or do you place value on yourself that causes you not to pay attention to those around you, others in need, who you could serve, who you should be putting first? Take another step further as you obediently walk with Him. Philippians 2:5-8. Let your attitude to life be that of Christ Jesus Himself. For He who had always been God by nature did not cling to His privileges as God's equal, but stripped Himself of every advantage by consenting to being a slave by nature and being born a man. And plainly seen as a human being, He humbled Himself by living a life of utter obedience to the point of death. And the death He died was of a common criminal. That is why God has lifted Him to the heights and has given Him the name above all names. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You poured out on the cross your blood for me. Oh, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Today is your best day to serve because He has brought you one day closer to Him. And that's why we serve. Today is your best day to serve because we are free to do so. Some people can't. There are countries right now where Christians are losing their lives to be able to do what we get to do. To sit here in His house and freely worship and serve. Romans 7:6 says, but now we are rid of the law, freed by the death of our imprisonment, free to serve in the new spiritual way and not of the old way of the written law. See, we are free to do this, free from the old imprisonments. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, we should probably test our flesh and test our flesh and so we can understand some things. So I'm going to look at Romans 15, 1 through 3. It says, "As for us who are strong, our duty is to bear with the weaknesses of those who are not strong, and not seek our own pleasure. Let each of us endeavor to please his fellow Christian, aiming at blessing calculated to build them up. For even Christ did not seek his own pleasure." And when I read this, it's the very beginning of this that stands out to me. And I circled our duty. Our duty is to bear with the weaknesses of those who are not strong. That stood out to me. I had to read that over and over again. The Lord is saying this is what our duty is to bear with the weaknesses of those who are not strong. And not be worrying about my own stuff, not to be worrying about my own pleasures, and to be seeking out my fellow Christians. I'm thinking, well, there's an area I probably need to improve upon. Thank you for that word, Lord, because I guess that maybe was for me. So, here's the key. Nothing disciplines the inordinate desires of the flesh like service. And nothing transforms the desires of the flesh like serving others, especially we can do it in a hidden environment. See, our flesh complains against service, but looks the other way against acts of hidden service. See, why we want to be known, we want to be recognized, we want people to know who we are and what we're doing. We want to stand out. We want that stuff. You know, we want that honor and that recognition. But did we talk about earlier that we're not supposed to look at that honor? And we're supposed to humble ourselves and put others before us and serve others first and put our own thoughts and desires and wants aside. See, but here's the thing. When we refuse to give in to the flesh, we crucify it. Every time we crucify the flesh, we crucify our own pride and our own arrogance. Crucifying your own flesh. Luke 22:27 says, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves?" See, it's not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. The servant or the one sitting at the table. We all want to be the one at the table. We all want to be feeling important. We all want to be recognized. We all want that. I get that. But the word says that the person we should be trying to look at, the person who should be getting the honor, the person we should give some respect to is the person who's serving the people, serving those at the table. Where do you fit in all that? Worship team, come up. Where do you fit in all that? See, it's like, here's what I know. I think when it comes to serving the Lord, and because today is your best day to serve him, we need to dive in. We need to jump in. We need to jump in because I know the water's good. And you know what? It's so good, it doesn't even matter if you don't even know how to swim. You just jump in obedience and serve. See, when you do that, you begin in your individual healing. It's an individual healing pathway that begins for your life. Galatians 5:13 says, "But through love, be servants of one another." Short and sweet. Galatians 6:9-10 says, "Let us not grow tired of doing good. For unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Let us then do good to all men as opportunity offers, especially to those who belong to the Christian household." And what stands out to me is, let us not grow tired of doing good. Some of you here are tired today. You've been working all week long. Some of you putting in 12, 14-hour days. I get that. This is where you come and get rest. And you get your batteries recharged. Why? Because today is your best day to serve. He poured out his blood for us. He is beautiful. So you never know when God is going to call upon you to serve in a mighty way. But see, we just need to make sure that we're ready for that call. Ready to answer the call and ready to step into that great opportunity when it presents itself. See, when we do this, we get to experience spiritual growth and personal growth. Just make sure that when the call comes, it doesn't pass you by. Because when we're not ready, God may move to the next person who answers the call and says, I'm ready. I'll take that call. I'll take that on. Jesus, why don't y'all stand?